Bible Believers Fellowship offers solid King James Bible study. For information, visit kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can watch hours of free video, you can listen to hours of free audio, and you can read all of our free articles. And then listen Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. to Bible Believers Fellowship right here on 91.5 Freedom FM. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship. On this program, we are completing our study of Daniel chapter 1, which reveals the character of Daniel and his three Hebrew sidekicks, and also provides the background that sets the stage for the rest of the book of Daniel. Please open a King James Bible and join us in our study of Daniel chapter 1, verses 2 through 21. And it's really important that you humanize the book of Daniel. I mean, it's really important that you read the Bible like that anyway. You need to understand these are real people going through real things. Try to put things in perspective. Just like we were talking about the United States of America only being around for a third of the lifetime of Methuselah. You know, it gives you some perspective. It helps you understand and grasp what you're reading. And back last week in Daniel chapter 1, we read where it says, and the Lord gave, this is verses 2 and 3, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, referring to Nebuchadnezzar, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. And there's where we find Daniel and the three that we'll see in a few weeks in the fiery furnace, and all these other Jews that were brought down. And all of this could have been avoided, but the Jews ignored prophecies and warnings. We looked at one last week in Isaiah when he had prophesied around 712 B.C. and told Hezekiah that he was going to that his kingdom and all of his children were going to be carted off to Babylon. And you remember Hezekiah said, oh, well, good, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, so everything's fine. And if you go all the way back, though, to Moses, as they're coming out of Egypt and heading, they haven't even reached the promised land yet. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, God warned Israel. He said, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire and a jealous God. Amen. He's not jealous of you, by the way. If you've heard Oprah Winfrey and some of these people talk about God being jealous, she said she rejected God because she couldn't accept the God who was jealous of her. See that one little word, of. God's not jealous of Oprah. God's jealous for Oprah. God doesn't want Oprah worshiping these false gods she's worshiping. God doesn't want you worshiping false gods. God is jealous for you. And He wants your worship to be to Him, because if you're not worshiping Him, if you're worshiping anything, the Bible says you're worshiping a devil. Amen. We studied that in 1 Corinthians. And he goes on and says, when thou, this is verse 25, Deuteronomy 4:25, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall remain long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. Then verse 26 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land. They haven't even got there yet. And he's telling them, you will perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Isn't that amazing? I used to hate it when we'd take vacation, and before we even got there, someone would start talking about how bad they hated the idea of going back home. I think, would you at least let us get there first? How many of you heard people do that when it comes to Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and all the rest? They're saying, oh, I'm already sick of winter. Oh, man, you ain't helping things because you got a long way to go. Well, here the children of Israel haven't even made it to the land yet, and Moses is saying, you're going to get kicked out. It just kills me when I read this, and it's there. You see them saying, would God that we had died when Pharaoh was chasing us, and would God that we... And you just, no wonder God just said, move over here, Moses, and just let me clean the slate here, and let's start all over. Well, that's the warning that was not heeded. And he goes on and describes what we see happening in Daniel. In verses 27, 28, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And that is exactly what happened because God keeps His word.
Amen.
And so as we continue through this, you can Americanize this story. We can also personalize this story. Not only as a nation are we calling God's judgment down on this country because of the sins and wickedness, but we need to make sure that we aren't part of the problem. We need to, instead of pointing a finger and saying, look at those dumb Israelites rejecting God and getting thrown out of their land. You know, as they say, when you're pointing at somebody else, you better be careful of those other fingers pointing right back at you. Because God does keep His word. So now, if you will, go to Daniel 1 and look at verse 5. Read that with me. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So you have these children of Israel, these seed of the king, these princes, these royalty from Israel, brought into the palace with Nebuchadnezzar to be basically brainwashed. They are going to try to take these young men. It's thought by most people that Daniel was between the ages of 13 and 17. And most of the people I looked on this, they thought it was around 17. That Daniel lost his world, lost everything, and was taken to this strange country where he didn't know the customs, didn't know the religion, didn't speak the language, had never heard the music, you name it, everything's changed. But here we see that they're even changing their diet and going to tell him what to eat and drink. And in verses 6 and 7, it says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now that's their Hebrew names. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. And for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Now you recognize the pagan names more than you do the Hebrew. And it's interesting that as we continue to read Daniel, we continue to see Daniel called Daniel, but we see the other three going by the pagan names. And what I want you to notice the contrast in these names. Daniel's name, we talked about last week, it means God is my judge, or just God is judge. Belteshazzar means prince of Baal, a false god. Wouldn't want stuck with that name, especially as a believer. Hananiah, now that's a guy's name, although it sounds kind of like what we would name a girl, Hananiah. But look how wonderful that name is. Beloved of the Lord. His name was changed to Shadrach, which means illumined by the sun god. Then we have Mishael. His name means who is as God. And it's not saying Mishael is as God. It's saying who else is like God. That's what it's a name that glorifies God. Who is as God? Well, his name was changed to, look at this. This is very interesting. Meshach. That means who is like the moon god. The moon god is Allah. Isn't that interesting? They're in Iraq. You see the map behind me? But right here is Babylon. Here's Israel. This is Jordan. Iran. Iraq. And they're in Iraq. And Michel is renamed who is like Allah. The moon god. Meshach. Then there's Azariah. His name means the Lord is my help. And his name was changed to Abednego or Abednego. And that means servant of Nego, shining fire or prince of fire. That is Lucifer. And the word Lucifer means the light bearer and shining one. So they were really, literally, their names were exchanged from glorifying God to satanic names. Whenever you think of Daniel and these three and going through that kind of a trauma, and then you see how they handled it. So impressive. I think you lose that impression if you don't take in consideration who you're dealing with here. These are teenage boys totally ripped up like that. And watch how they handle this. Look what it's in Daniel 1:8. Read that with me. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, how impressive is that? For these teenage young boys to be ripped out of their home country and taken to a strange land, and the first thing they're concerned with is not defiling themselves, not because they're health food nuts. They're worried about pleasing God. We've been studying this on Sundays. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then he says, I will be a father unto you. We need to not defile ourselves. We need to follow this example we're seeing in the book of Daniel. What Daniel's concerned with here is that they would take that meat that they would serve these young boys, and before they brought it in, they offered it to the gods. But also, it was not kosher. So a lot of times you'll hear people talk about the fact that the meat was offered to idols, but you rarely hear people mention the second problem is it's not kosher. Some of the meat they weren't even allowed to eat because they're unclean animals, but even the clean meat wasn't handled properly. And if you go back and read the Torah, you'll see there's a certain way they were to handle the meat. And so on a twofold reason, Daniel did not want to eat that meat and drink the wine. Even the wine was not kosher. You handled everything in a certain particular way, or it was considered unclean. So keep that in mind, because people will run to this and they have this thing called the Daniel diet. They try to get people to turn into vegetarians and all that sort of thing. And that is not the message here. I'm not telling you not to be a vegetarian. That's your own business. But don't preach it as a doctrine of the Scripture. But keep your eye on the ball here, that this is about cultural conditioning. They would take these people and totally try to transform them and take their language away, take their religion away, take their culture away, even their diet and their music, their art, everything changed to try to take them. And that was successful with everybody they did it with through the years, but they could never succeed with the Jews. And that is one of the amazing things the Bible prophesied, that they would continue as a people and they would speak the same language and they would have the same practices. And what's amazing is you won't find any other conquered nation in human history who, after being conquered and taken out of their land, kept their traditions, their cultures, their language, and their religion, and went back to the land. Only the Jews, And it was all prophesied in the Scripture. Deuteronomy 3, Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 18, numerous places. Let's move on to verses 9 and 10 now in Daniel 1. He says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of eunuchs." Now, who's that remind you of? Come on now.
Joseph.
It's wonderful that you see this over and over with God's choice servants. "And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king." You know, they're always picking on the homeschool kids. You know, they're going to lack socialization and, you know, and but here they're worried that Daniel follows this diet, that he'll be all shriveled up and pale and lack socialization. But Daniel knew better. And in verses 11 and 12, "Then said Daniel to Melzar," which I'm sure they called him Mel, but "Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink." Now, the new versions make the incredible leap of saying pulse is an archaic word, so we need to put the word vegetables. The problem is that's not what it is. This involves grains, herbs, nuts, vegetables, pretty much any non-meat type of food. And they could eat that because it wasn't offered to idols. And so they were able to actually consume that. And you might want to say that pulse is a mixture of grains, so to speak. But one preacher said that, "Friend, they wanted their Wheaties." Because that's really what they're after. And this wouldn't violate kosher law. And there's no worry of it being offered to idols. So they gave Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah their Wheaties. And he says in verse 13, "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants." Now, that's the way it ought to be with us on a spiritual level. The world ought to be able to say, "I look at that Mike Kaler over here, and I look at humanist Joe over here. I see joy and peace, but over here I see strife and emptiness. That's what I see." I'm talking about a real person, by the way. And that's the way it ought to be with us in front of the world. They ought to look at us and say, "You know, I see something there that I don't see in these other people." What they don't know is it's not really us, but they need to understand it's God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God in us. That when we will let go, I was telling Paul about all this talk about, you know, the big political stuff and everything, whether it's national, local, or whatever. Don't let that stuff get to you. Amen. Pray about it. Be informed. Do the right thing. Pray for your leaders. Vote. All that stuff. But you don't have to do it with anxiety or worry. And just let God handle it. And then the world will look at you and say, "Wow, I see a peace there." And that's when you can be a real testimony. Everybody's probably familiar with Charlie Sheen. He's literally going to the extreme to try to fill that God-sized, God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill. Martin Sheen's son and his brothers, Emilio Estevez, and I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody said that Emilio won't even hardly talk to him because he said he's sick of seeing his dad cry. And that's his dad, Martin. So, hey, they're real people. I don't hesitate to say, you know, pray for them. Pray for him. Charlie's a real person, and all them millions of dollars is the worst thing that ever happened to him, and maybe he needs to hit rock bottom before he wakes up. But that is an example of exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So back in verse 14, then the male consented. It says he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days, Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, praise the Lord,
amen,
than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And, you know, we're not trying to spiritualize everything here, but that's a picture of the spiritual life. That you want to be spiritually well fed. You want to be fat in the spirit. Then you read the word and you go by God's word, not man. Not man's opinions. Verses 16 and 17 says, thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And then verses 18 and 19 continue, says, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in. This is 3 years later now. Don't misunderstand here. Jenny has been going to school for almost 3 years. And it still ain't over. So Jenny has a little perspective on how long 3 years is. And in 3 years' time, you know, if you didn't take summers off, that would be like a bachelor's degree. If you went through the summer and went all year long for 3 years. And it says in verse 19, and the king communed with them, and among all them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now, as we said, this was 3 years in the lives of these teen boys. Now, if he was 17, he may be 20 by now. Maybe 21 pushing it. That's how old these guys are. And you consider the transformation mentally and physically and what would have happened to most teens under 3 years of conditioning spiritually. And I don't say that as a put down, but you just take most teen between 15 and 20, put them in that situation for 3 years, you would probably not even recognize them. And that's what happens to these kids. A lot of times they go to college and after 3 or 4 years, totally reject God. And they're not even in that extreme circumstance. And yet these boys stuck to their guns. And so that's you and I in the workplace. That's you and I in our world that we live in. That's even among our family. Paul, we're praying for his family because they're all genetically and spiritually Jews and still haven't received the Messiah. Praise God, Paul has, and he's a witness. But Paul goes around his family. He loves them and he wants to be a witness to them. But most of us are in that circumstance. Can't tell you how many times I've been in a room full of family and not one of them saved. And so that's our motivation. That's our example there with these are teen boys. If they can do it, we can do it. But not by our own strength and power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in verses 20 and 21, it closes saying, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, look at this, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were all in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now this is a Gentile speaking of these boys, and he uses the number 10. And I'm just going to throw this another extra credit there for you, but there's a thing called biblical numerics. We're not talking about numerology, which is occult. We're talking about biblical numerics and the use of numbers in Scripture. And the number 10 is the Gentile number. How many horns are there going to be when the Gentile Antichrist kingdom comes about? 10 horns. Over and over, you're going to see that number 10 with the Gentiles. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to go to the end of the book. Now, I'm not going there, Mike, so don't go to Daniel 12. But if you look at the if you look at the end of this, verse 21, he's giving you a little bit of the story ahead of time there. If you ever worried that he wouldn't make it out of the lion's den, for example, says that Daniel continued under the first year of King Cyrus. That would put Daniel around 90. So we're looking at a teenage boy who's going to live to be about 90 during the time of King Cyrus. You know, just considering this though, Daniel could have just fit in. Daniel could have just went along. You know, it's not easy. It can be awkward. I kind of like throwing people in awkward situations. Maggie, when she left this last week to go back to Cincinnati, I said, okay, time for an awkward hug. And we hugged it real awkward, you know. Sometimes that's fun. Just put people in an awkward position like that. Awkward, you know. But sometimes you just want to take a stand for the Lord and not go along with the pagans. And it can be a little awkward. But you know, Jesus put up with mocking and scorn. And the apostles and Christians through the years have put up with violence to not fit in. I think if we really think about it, we should be willing to be in a little bit of an awkward situation in order to take that stand. And you don't have to be weird about it, but you can just tell somebody. I mean, we've shared stories about how someone's using God's name in vain, you know, and we just, you know, please don't do that. You know, I don't know who or what you worship, but if I wouldn't use that God's name in vain if it offended you. And I'm not going to talk bad about your wife, and God is that close to me. It's like you talking about my wife. You can say stuff like that, and most people will respect you. And no matter what it is, it's something you pray about, and the Lord can give you the strength to be a Daniel. Because instead of fitting in, Daniel excelled in obedience to God and is spoken of in these terms in Ezekiel. Now, if you haven't marked this in your Bible and you mark your Bible, Ezekiel 28:3 ought to be marked in your Bible. Ezekiel 28:3, imagine, he says, "Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee." God using Daniel as the example of wisdom. If you want to be honored by God, then don't fit in. Don't be a weirdo and try to stick, don't do something really crazy like tattoo John 3:16 on your forehead or something like that. I'm not saying you to do something like that. I'm just saying don't go along with this wicked culture. Stand out a little bit. Not to attract attention to you, but to just show people that not everybody's going along with this, and maybe they'll see something in you and say, man, I'd like to have that. I wish I had that kind of courage. I wish I had that kind of relationship with the Lord. And Jesus said there's coming a day when He'll look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There will never be an honor like that on this earth to have Jesus Himself look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.